Again, I want to thank everybody who's come. I see some new faces. Very appreciative of that. We see some people, I'm not going to call anybody out, but some people that haven't been, and we miss you when you're not here. And Mike Dell said some time ago when he talked about some people who, we call them snowbirds, I think sometimes, who travel to the warmer weather, how we miss them when they're gone, and they're really family to us. So for those of you who have been out due to sicknesses, we welcome you back. My grandsons are going to be handing out some mustard seeds, so as they do that, just know that I've asked them to do that. This is all new for all of us. So, and hopefully there'll be a message behind that. We'll get to that in a minute. Again, if you don't know me, my name is Ed Knapp, and I'm an elder at Gospel. I want to thank several people. I want to thank Luis and Edna for the last 2 weeks of the word that they gave. This isn't real easy. And I will tell you, I'm about as out of my comfort zone as I could be. Absolutely. And I know there's a reason for that. I will tell you that I kind of maybe feared that I would be asked as we prepared for Russ to be out. And I was very prepared to say no, absolutely no. But you know, that's not easy to do when you think that it wasn't Russ asking me or it wasn't the elders asking me. There's a much higher calling. So again, I hope my family for coming. My dad, who's part of this church, I greatly appreciate the support. My mom and her friends that have come to support that I've known most of my life. Joshua, my son, and his wife, Brandy, who's working. John and Amy. Mike and his friend, Nicole and Aiden. I'm so blessed to have all of you in my life, and I thank you. And, of course, my grandkids, who are usually here running around, Ben, Connor, Oliver, and little Jordan. I'm just so blessed to have all of you. And my church family, to know that some of you may have had a hint that I was going to preach, and to know you still showed up today, I appreciate it. I'm kidding, obviously. I didn't expect you not to. To hear Ed, we're here to get the word of God, and again, hopefully, I will do that. Just real quick, I received a phone call this morning from Mike and Dawn Zadell. They are on their way back. They were off the boat and on dry land, and they were actually in the car on their way home from New Jersey, so safe travels, and I was so appreciative that they would call me. I've received texts and phone calls this morning, you know, the Facebook, it's just amazing, and I greatly appreciate it all. It's been a roller coaster as I've prepared for today. Obviously, I want to talk about what God wants me to talk about. Again, this shouldn't be about me, and so I had some thoughts. As I prepared, my first thought was on fear, because I'm fearful today. And so I began to work on that. I'd known for about a month, and I began to work on a word of fear, and just felt God wasn't supporting that. That's not where He wanted me to be. And so my next thought, I was thinking I was getting something from on faith, and so again, I thought, sure, that's, you know, my faith is what's trying to make me overcome the fear to be up here, but 2 weeks ago, I was kind of there, and 2 weeks ago, that turned around as well. So I started working on something else, and I was kind of going with the planting the seed. And 2 weeks ago, as we left church, we stopped it for something to eat, and I got a text from somebody that I work with who basically in the text said, hey, I think you're a friend of Peter's, and Peter passed away yesterday. And Peter was a friend of mine. He was a colleague, somebody I've worked with for probably 25, 30 years. Pete was my age. And so as I thought about Peter, I thought about, I guess, the typical things, you know, the grief, the, you know, he's not going to be there anymore for me, with me. And we had some projects that we worked on at the hospital together. And so Monday, we kind of do some training together in the decon bay. And I went to the decon bay, and I sat for about a half an hour, and I thought about Peter. And I cried because I miss him already. And I'm just trying to think of life without him. And the thing that hit me the most was, I'm not sure that I planted a seed with Peter. And that really started to weigh heavy on my heart. I don't know today if Peter has eternal life. I don't know. I think he does, and obviously we always wanna think that, but I'm not sure. I'm not positive. And I blame myself partially for that, because as a friend I should have known that. So I started to kind of go with planting the seed. And so last night, I guess I went to bed about 9:30, and I woke up at 1:30, 1:45 this morning, truly in a cold sweat, and I didn't feel right. I was thinking about sermon, and I think part of that is nerves, but I was thinking about the sermon this morning, and I thought, just this uneasy feeling. And so I was wide awake, and I thought, maybe I need to get up and go work on this again. But I didn't. I prayed. I took time to pray, and I just asked God that he would first give me the calming that I need to do this, to give your word this morning, and to tell me what I need to be preaching about. So, and to let me sleep. And so I did go back to sleep. I slept until about 5:30 this morning. I got up. I had some time before Hope got up, and so I spent some more time in prayer and asked the Lord for his help. I will tell you, I am not a pastor. I don't know if I already said this, I have a whole new meaning for what pastors do. Pastors do this every week. I had a month to do this, and here I am still kind of struggling with what I want to do. I can't imagine doing it every day. Obviously, our pastor is very good at what he does, but to think about the changes and the roller coaster that I've been on just over these, just in the last 24, 48 hours, I just can't imagine. And we've heard from Russ, and we've probably heard from other pastors that they go through that as well. So a lot of what I'm speaking about, I don't know if you noticed, but I have about four pages of notes here. The first page was kind of my introduction that I've done. Here's the new service from this morning. So it's not as polished as I'd like, and I apologize for that, but I don't feel I'm here to be a showboat or to be polished. I'm here to do my best at giving the word. So, thank you. If you would turn to your Bibles, if you have them, if you have your phone apps or whatever, or just look up on the screen, I'm sure we can get up Mark 16, verse 15, please. He said to them, "Go into the world and preach the good news to all creations." So that's what we kind of think about, right? That's our job as Christians, to do that. Well, for some of us, that thought is, as I said, very frightening. There are people in this room, and I'm not going to call them out. We know, we can think about a couple who can go anywhere and talk about God and to give a testimony and to get in deep conversation with strangers that they've never talked to. But then there's other people like myself who have a tough time. I can do that with family. I can do that a little bit with some of you, but to do that can put a big burden on us. And so I began to look into it a little bit more, and you know what? Our job is to plant a seed. Our job is not to, I mean, if we can do it, that's great. But if you can't, we shouldn't feel that we just can't talk at all. We need to plant the seed. If you turn to me, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. I planted the seed. This is, this is kind of explanation of the Apostle Paul is addressing this sense of responsibility. So he says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Again, it's our job to plant that seed, but let's not get all stressed out over trying to dig in and give details that are beyond us or make us feel uncomfortable. So Jesus tells of a man who scattered seed on the ground. I'm sorry, one more. Mark 4, verse 26 through 29. So as we know, Jesus loves to use parables to teach, and some of the parables are quite easy to understand, and then some we need explanation to. But this is the parable of the growing seed. And it says, he also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scattered seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he doesn't know how, all by itself. The soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. So Jesus tells of a man who scatters the seed on the ground. He's a farmer. And then allows nature to take its course. As we go about our days and business, the seeds begin to have an effect. First the seed sprouts, then it produces a stalk and leaves, then a heart of grain, and finally fully developed kernel in the head. This is all happening without our help, and the parable ends with a harvest. So Jesus doesn't really explain this parable as he does in some, but it's pretty simple, right? The seed is the word of God. We know that. The growth of the plant is the working of God's word in that individual. The fact that the plant grows without the farmer's intervention shows that God accomplished his purpose even when we are absent or unaware of what he is doing. At the proper time, the word will bring faith, bring forth its fruit, and the Lord of the harvest will be glorified. So I think about my life and the seeds that have been planted. Many of you have been part of that. I think about as a child. There wasn't a whole lot of talk about God in my house. And so I didn't really know Jesus. I knew of him. I'd heard of him. I knew my parents believed in him. But we didn't practice anything. And so there was really no seed there. I guess a little seed, right, from knowing that he was real. I truly believe that. I had a little bit of experience or a little bit of exposure with a best friend whose family was very religious, and I would go to church and we would do some Christian youth activities. But again, there wasn't really a teaching going on. It was just a fun thing to do, and I didn't spend enough time. I'm going to skip through and not really spend a ton of time, but There was a point after the military, my mom was now going to church, and she was starting to plant that seed. She was starting to say, hey, would you come to church? Do you know God? You should, and I'd like you to. And then my father, who didn't really, at that point, go to church, out of the blue one day comes to me and says, I'm going to start going to church. And so there's a stepmom now involved in my life, and she went to this church somewhere in a swamp, Alabama, full gospel maybe. Now keep in mind, they were in Bethany at the time. And so she was traveling, she stayed with this church, and so my dad said, I'm going to church. And I thought, okay, it's different, but okay. And it was some time later where he said, I'm going to be baptized. And I thought, what are those people in Alabama doing to my dad? Because it was a little strange, right? But again, good. I didn't, you know, certainly didn't bother me all that much, didn't bother me at all. Until the day he said, you should come to church. And I had no interest in going to church because the seed really wasn't planted. So back in this time, I think it was probably early 2000s, we would go, or there was Oakfield, Alabama school would actually do a men's breakfast. And so Dad had asked me to go, and I, again, did not want to go. I couldn't imagine sitting around with 500 Christian men. Clearly, I would have absolutely nothing in common with them. They were Bible thumpers, I guess, in my mind. And so I had 100 reasons why I couldn't go, but I went. I agreed to go because Dad wanted me to go, and he was planting that seed. And so I went. That morning, I remember waking up thinking, if somebody would just call me into work or whatever. But I went. And I had a great time. I met Pastor Terry Peters, who was a lot of you know him. It was a little bit strange because he was a guy kind of like me, except he knew the Lord and I didn't yet. I met Bill Wakeman. I met Russ. I met a lot of very cool guys that, again, I found out I did have something in common with. And so so the seed was planted. And it was probably a year gone by before anything else happened. I probably went to another. Bill Cravato, in fact, played the keyboard. I met him without really officially meeting him. And from there it was come to men's dinner at Alabama Full Gospel. And so, again, didn't want to, didn't feel I was going to have that much in common with him to go. But over the years, the next couple of years, that's what happened as I began to come to this church more and more. I don't know the exact year. We think it was 2007, 2008, on Easter Sunday, we had the first service in this building. And my dad was so excited about this service because the people of this church, many of you are sitting in this room, built this church. There's no debt. They built it with their own hands and their own blood and their own love of God to build this building. And we've heard that, I'm not going to go back in time, Russ has talked a lot about where this church started from. And so it was kind of another excuse, if you will, for my dad to ask me to come to church. And so we came to church. I don't know that we stopped much after that. There might have been a couple of months in between, but we were accepted with open arms, with open hearts. I can remember as I began to, so here's the seed, right? The seed's planted, and God's working on it. And now I'm coming to the church on Sundays, and Pastor Terry Peters is talking about things and teaching me things. And I can remember, service being over, and I'm thinking, are you kidding me? We're done? And it's just such an uplift to have that and to feel God into our lives. Again, there are so many men, and I focus on the men here because that's what started, you know, and that's, as Christians, that's where we need to be. We need to really be looking at how we're going to plant the seed. So back to Peter, I've thought over the last 2 weeks, and I reached out to Pastor Russ, and I reached out to Mike Zedell and text, and we kind of talked about, and of course they called and prayed with me to help me with that. But through that development, I've started thinking about, I really did plant the seed with Peter. No, we didn't talk in depth about Jesus. I didn't ask Peter if he believed. But Peter knew how proud I was to come to this church. He knows about my church. We talked about my church. We talked about things that I did in church and how excited that I was about that. He was an emergency preparedness type guy. So we talked about safety stuff in the church and that type of thing. And so he knew. And then I think about my life before God, right? When I would get together with my friends and we'd have a few adult beverages maybe. And I think about my language the most. Guys get together, they speak different than guys who are at church often, right? I'm talking guys outside of church. Our language was just horrible. And through God's work in me and through softening of my heart, that changes. And Pete knows, he remembers when I was that guy. The point that I'm getting at is when people see us and see our life changing in Christ, especially when they know us and they see how that we're changing and how our heart's softening, that's planting a seed. That's letting them know, right, that we're a different person. And so from that, I hope to learn and to maybe work with some of the brothers who we talk quite often about those conversations in the checkout line at Walmart. Maybe I can become a little bit more like that. Part of the way we're going to do that is to read the Word, right? If we understand and we feel comfortable enough, I don't retain things, and I'm making an excuse, I know, and there's one way that I can fix that. I need to pick this up more than I do and spend some more time. One thing I didn't talk about, and I'll use this now, is, the relationship that Hope, my wife, and I have and the help that she's given me over the last couple of days. I think it was 3 weeks ago she said, okay, you're starting to freak me out because you're not doing nothing. I'm not seeing you. I mean, not the normal, I'm not doing nothing, but you're not working on this Bible thing that you're supposed to do, and it's really starting to make me nervous. And I said, yeah. Some of you may have heard rumor. I don't know that's really true. I'm a procrastinator, she says. No. So that was part of it, and part of it was that fear of, what have I got into and can I do this? And part of it I just think is I need to be under a little bit of stress to get stuff done. So that's what we're going with this. But Hope has really helped me a lot. And we had some fun. We had some laughs over the last couple of days of sitting down and talking about the scripture and what I wanted to do. So I passed out mustard seeds. We haven't talked much about it. I have a mustard seed from, I think, Pastor Terry, and I'm quite sure that he had passed that out to talk about the parable of the sower. It was quite some time ago, and I think of that, and when I pull it out, there's just many nice thoughts of Terry, nice thoughts of the, my growth in Jesus. Hope says that she's pretty sure the mustard seed she had was from Pastor Russ, talking about the faith and how just that little grain of faith can just give us the capability of doing anything that we want to do. So the moral of that story is we passed it out because that's what I was going to do 2 weeks ago, and it still kind of stands with that. So keep it in your Bible to remember. Give it to a friend. Use it as a conversation starter to talk about Jesus. Lastly, my friends, I just want to talk about the importance of bringing God into your life. Peter and I spoke Friday, the Friday before he passed away. Peter and I, we both like to use our smokers and smoke different meats. In fact, I gave him an old smoker because he wanted to get started. And so we share recipes and things like that. And so Peter and I spoke Friday. We talked about what he was, you know, he was going to throw some stuff on the smoker Saturday. And we talked about that. And the point is, we expected to see each other on Monday, right? Peter didn't think his life was over. And so, again, was he prepared? And I just ask all of you, I want eternal life with every single one of you. Right? Every single one of you. I need to know that I have eternal life. I'm a little bit selfish like that with you. I think I'm sitting good. I've spoke to the Lord. I've brought the Lord into my heart, and I work to be more God-like. Not there. Probably never going to be there. I got a long way to go. But that's my goal, and that's what I work on. And we do that through His Word. I'm just saying, if you haven't been there, you need to be there, because we don't know. We're not promised anything. I challenge you to turn to Revelations in your Bible and turn on the nightly news and use Revelations as a checklist, because if as you listen to the news, you can go through and say, yep, 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 it's time. The time is coming. It's fast upon us, and we don't know. And we know that there's one way that we can have eternal life, and that's accepting Jesus into our life. Amen. Bill, would you come up and close us? Brothers and sisters, it has been truly an honor, again, and I am so grateful that to know that if this... I'm just so grateful to know that up here I'm not alone, and the calmness that I feel isn't me. The calmness isn't that I was well polished in this. The calmness is our Jesus is right here. The power that we felt in this room this morning for our service was just wonderful, and I hope that each and every one of you feel that. I hope that you got something out of that.